as said as verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. After you hear God's word tonight, you ought not listen to another sermon in the same way. God's word tonight should change us. It should change our perspective. It should change our mindset. It should change our view on preaching. Every sermon, really, should change us. Every sermon, if based upon God's holy and inspired word, should have an effect upon us. Why? Because the sermon is not a speech. The preaching of God's word is not a sharing of opinions for you to take or to leave. But every sermon, if founded upon God's word, every sermon is what God uses to speak to your heart. And if God is speaking, then there will be an effect. There will be a certain powerful effect upon us. Something is going to happen. That is why sermons should change us. Today's sermon, today's word of God, is found in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, makes it explicit. The sermon is about how to listen to the preaching. And if it is based upon God's word, then it will change you. It will change your way of listening to the preaching. Last week, remember, we considered the first 13 verses of 1 Thessalonians 2. And I remind you that that sermon was on how to preach the gospel. And in that piece of God's word, we considered Paul's explanation of how that gospel should come through the minister and through our witnessing, how that gospel should come with boldness, even bringing the truths of God's word that people may not like. And yet how that gospel should come also with a gentleness as a nursing mother and as a father, and how that gospel should come with an inner motivation and must come with an inner motivation of love for God and love for the people. And if you were here last week and you were listening to that sermon on how to preach the gospel, you may have been tempted to think in a critical way about how the minister should bring the preaching. It's human nature that we have. One of the enemies that attacks us, assaults us, so that we fall into such sin. You may have been tempted, as you heard about how to preach the gospel, to pick out the weaknesses of this minister or that minister, how he's not bold enough, or how he's not gentle enough, and how he doesn't seem to show much love in his preaching. And in spite of the warnings of last week's sermon that we ought not do that, we ought not have this overly critical spirit and this sinful murmuring of what a minister is saying, we might have done it anyways. And so today's sermon addresses that. It is very appropriate to consider, after how to preach the gospel, now how to receive that preaching. We must know how the preacher should preach, but we must know also how to receive that preaching. Not, as we find in God's word tonight, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Remember, before we move on, that the theme of the book of 1 Thessalonians is the church as she waits for the return of her Savior, her Lord Jesus Christ. And we've considered in our series that the church, as she waits for the return of Christ, needs to be active in her waiting, not passive. That church needs to be active in its labor of love and its work of faith and its endurance of hope, as we saw in chapter 1, verse 3. That church needs to be, as she waits, to be in communion with one another, The church needs to echo that gospel to others. Today we see that that church waiting for her Savior to return needs to receive the preaching as the Word of God. How to receive the preaching? First, the right reception. Second, the enduring effect. And then finally, the propitious or the favorable prayer that we see in this text. How to receive the preaching, the right reception of it, the enduring effect, and the propitious prayer. The Word of God this evening is very clear. It would be very difficult, really, to misinterpret what this text is saying. It's not hard to understand. It's difficult to actually apply, to do, but it's not difficult. There's no mistaking what God is saying here. Very simply, in this first point, we see how preaching is to be received as the Word of God first, and then secondly, how it's not to be received as the Word of men. Preaching, true preaching, is to be received as the Word of God. That it is God's Word in really every sense. Not only that it belongs to God, not only that the source is God, but especially this. The preaching is to be listened to as the Word of God means that we are to hear God speak. Hear God speak through the preaching. This is how the Thessalonians received the preaching of Paul, but not only Paul. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Notice the plural pronouns in this text. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us. Who's the we and who's the us? Well, it's not only Paul. It's not the great apostle Paul alone. But as you remember, Paul is writing this epistle along with Silas and Timothy. Together they write and they say, you have heard of us. You've heard us preach. The three of us have come to Thessalonica. The three of us have stopped in your city. The three of us have preached to you. And the result of our preaching together is that you have turned from your idols to serve the living God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. The text is referring to the preaching of all three men. And that's an important point, because sometimes we might read this text and think, well, that's the apostles' preaching that should be received as the Word of God. He's that special guy that the Thessalonians heard, and that's why they received it as the Word of God. No, it's not just Paul. But the lesser known, Silas and Timothy, also preached. The people of Thessalonica listened to their preaching as the Word of God. These men, Silas and Timothy, were not apostles, but they were ordained. They were men that had been chosen by God and through a church, been sent to preach. And these men then had preached not just anything, they hadn't just preached their own opinions and some scientific lecture that they gave or some language class that they taught the people in Thessalonica, but they came with the truths of the gospel as revealed in the scriptures. That's what they preached. So as ordained men, they brought the Word of God as it was written down. When the Thessalonians heard these ordained men, and when they heard the truths of the scriptures explained to them, then they received this as the Word of God. The text emphasizes this three times. You received the Word of God, which you heard of us. But as it is in truth, that's the second emphasis, it is really, truly, the Word of God. Paul says, yes, 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 this is the Word of God. You received it this way. You received it as though God is speaking. That's what he means. You heard in the preaching Jesus Christ himself preaching a sermon to you. As though the triune God himself was making something known to your heart. You had that mindset, that perspective, that view. Oh yes. Oh yes, you heard men's voices too. Paul saying, you heard the sounds of our voices. You heard the deepness of one of our voices and the higher voice of another. You heard the volume that varied in our voices. You heard the specific styles that each of us three men brought. You heard the speed with which we brought this preaching. You heard the different varying illustrations and the vocabulary that we use. You might have preferred one man's voice and one man's style over another. You could even have said that you heard the weaknesses of Paul and the strengths of Timothy. They heard men. That's clear in the text too. The word of God which he heard of us. Paul says, you heard us. You did hear us. With your ears you heard men. But as your ears heard men, your hearts heard God. As your ears heard men, something mysterious was taking place in their hearts. Something unexplainable. Their eardrums sensed weak men, and their souls sensed the Almighty God. Skeptical of that? You say, how can that be? Don't believe that? Well, the Thessalonians at first didn't. Remember the Thessalonians? Paul and Silas and Timothy were on the missionary journey along the route to Thessalonica. When they got to Thessalonica, none of the Thessalonians believed. They weren't going to receive Paul and Silas and Timothy's preaching with any sort of perspective of this. They were deep in their paganism and in their idolatry. They were the skeptic of skeptics of skeptics. They could not and would not believe that three men blabbing about an impossible resurrection of a man named Jesus Christ could have such an effect upon them. No. First, as Isaiah says, these Thessalonians heard, but hearing they heard not. With their ears they heard, and their hearts they heard nothing. But then something happened as they were listening to Paul and Silas and Timothy preach. Something no less than miraculous. Something supernatural, yes. As great as a miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. As great as a miracle of Jesus Christ in opening the ears of a deaf man and opening the eyes of a blind man. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ began to work in the hearts of these skeptical Thessalonians. A life, an eternal life, a hearing that they did not have before. Then they perceived not only the voice of men, but the still, small voice of God. They were regenerated. They were given that faith which is the ears of the soul. And they believed the truth preached to them. How? Why? Because Christ Himself spoke. The risen Christ had to be real. Because the very risen Christ was talking to them through the preaching. Two words that are translated in the text, receive, notice. And he received the word of God which he heard of us. He received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Those two words, received, are different words in the original. They're synonyms, but the first word for receive refers to a passive idea of reception or receiving. That's what you might do as you're listening to a sermon. Anyone can passively receive the word of God. It comes into their ears. Comes into your brains and you think about it. That's a passive reception of God's word. That's what happened with the Thessalonians at first. They received the preaching. They received the word. But then the second word for received can be translated accept. This is the idea of an active reception. The Thessalonians listened to the preaching of Paul and Silas, and they at first listened to it as any other listener did. They heard it. And then that miracle took place in their hearts. They were raised from the dead and their ears were open. And then this is what they did. They took a hold of it. They accepted this word, not as merely the words of men, but with active faith, received it as the word of God. This is no mere man speaking anymore, they said. This is my Lord and my God speaking to my heart. That's how the Thessalonians chose from that point on to listen to the preaching of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. That was the church of Thessalonica. How about the church of Cornerstone? What about the members here? How do we receive the preaching? What perspective, what mindset does your heart take? Is there a conscious activity of your heart? Not just a passive hearing, but a conscious activity of your heart to take in, to receive the preaching, not as the word of men merely, but as the very word of God. Is there this heart's desire to strain your ears as much as possible to hear God speak to you? Are you conscious of the fact that the Jesus Christ that you worship, that this Jesus Christ has not only suffered and bled and died for you and your sins, but He's alive. And He's alive not only in heaven, but He's alive by His Spirit in your hearts. And He is here, very alive, talking to you. Yes, that is the activity of a believer's heart. That is how we ought to listen to the preaching, to follow the example of the Thessalonians. Normally, people of God, the heart is convinced. That the heart is convinced that God is speaking through the preaching, then the actions are going to follow too, normally. The heart is convinced that God is speaking through the preaching. Should that not evidence itself in whether we come to hear the preaching? Should that not evidence itself in where we sit as we hear the preaching? God's speaking. Should that not evidence itself in how we sit and how much of an effort we put into listening? How little we worry about the length of it. If God's speaking, I'll listen to Him as long as He's talking. Does that not influence how we talk about the preaching afterward among our family members and our children and friends? If we are convinced that God is speaking, then our lives are going to be consistent with it. The Thessalonian church received the preaching not as the word of man. They received it as the word of God, but now negatively, not as the word of men. Notice how strongly the text puts it. Look back at that verse. You received it not as the word of men. Now look at that phrase again, not as the word of men. You see italicized, in the King James Version at least, you see italicized those words it and as. That means, when you see those italicized words, that means that the King James Version is informing you, and those words aren't in the original. Those words are simply placed there to help you understand the idea of the text. And the King James Version does a good job at that, to help us understand the idea of the text. But take those words out of there for a moment so that you can see that the absence of these words makes the point even stronger. You received, take out it and as, ye received not the word of men. That's what it literally says. When you heard the preaching, you received not the word of men. They didn't hear the men at all. That's what this text emphasizes. That means they weren't distracted by the word of men. Their heart was not focused at all on what man was saying. They didn't focus on the mistake of grammar he made. Their heart wasn't laughing at the way that sentence might have sounded previously. They weren't focused on the criticizing the organization of what that man brought. They weren't disapproving of his style. They ignored as much as they could what the man said, because they were simply focusing on what God was saying to them. Put it this way. And so strongly Paul's saying this. If you had approached one of these believing Thessalonians, let's say you could go to the church in Thessalonica right now and talk to one of these Thessalonian Christians, and you had brought up what Paul or Silas or Timothy might have said, you would said, "Are you sure that's right? That word choice, sure he approached that properly?" You know what those Thessalonians would have said? They would have looked at you and they would have said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I didn't hear that. Because I wasn't listening for man's word. I was listening to God's word. Their ears were tuned to a different frequency, if you will. They forgot who was standing up on the pulpit. They were thinking about what Jesus was saying. Now it is true, of course, the human element comes with the preaching. And the force of this text is not to deny that the Thessalonians were like their brothers and sisters in Christ in the city neighboring to it, the Bereans. They did listen to the preaching, searching the scriptures to see if these things were true. Because they knew that there was a human being that was bringing the preaching. The human being was fallible. So they did search the scriptures to see if these things were true. They carefully listened that heresy wasn't preached. But as soon as they knew that this was what God's word said in the scriptures, then they focused in on what God was saying to them. Is that how we receive the preaching? What are we looking for? What are we looking for? For a man to entertain us, to keep our attention, in spite of our short attention span. We're looking for his ability to make it personal, his ability to be excited, his ability to be lively. What are we tuned into? His style, the prior judgments that others have made on him, looking to verify those judgments, whether positive or negative. For the Thessalonians, it was not about the man, his gifted or non-gifted preaching. It was about God's word. They received not the word of men. How are we receiving God's word tonight? Do you imagine it as just what the minister says tonight too? The minister says, on the basis of God's word, we are to hear the preaching as God speaking to us. Do we say, well, that's just his opinion? Or do we take it as God saying to our souls, I am speaking, and you need to listen, not to the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Those who receive the preaching in this way will experience an enduring effect upon their hearts and lives. For the Thessalonians who received the preaching of the word of God, there was a powerful effect that comes out in this text also. God's word is powerful. To illustrate God's word is powerful, you just have to look back into the scriptures, to the first book in the Bible, Genesis 1. God spoke, and it was done. He said, let there be light. And immediately the mysterious illuminating energy of light that scientists can't even understand extraordinarily appears without any aid of the sun. How does that happen? By the word of God. And then every bit of creation also by the word of his mouth. Think about Christ when he healed the blind man, when he healed the lame man. He spoke and immediately he received his sight. He said, rise and walk. And immediately a man who had never walked in his life, had no coordination, jumped up and took up his bed and walked. Think about Jesus who stood at the edge of Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Immediately a man who was dead for 4 days, who should have stunk, came out of the grave alive as never before. As Jesus sat in a boat or slept in the boat, the waves tossing and turning, and the disciples were fearful that they were going to drown. And Jesus woke and he said, peace, be still. And immediately the tempestuous waters of the Sea of Galilee and the fear in the hearts of the disciples gone. Beloved people of God, do you see? When God speaks, there is a powerful effect. And do not think that God has stopped speaking. Do not imagine that Jesus has stopped performing miracles by the word of his mouth. Not in that Pentecostal sort of way of a faith healing. But we are believers in God who performs supernatural things. Works internally inside of us. Works that no man can perform. He does. And he does that by the word of his mouth. You ask, where, how? Well, he speaks through the preaching. Let there be light. And the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, so that the darkness is dispelled. He speaks, rise up and walk. so that the spiritually lame, who could not find any energy in themselves to walk in the laws of God, and rise and obey their master. He speaks, "Peace, be still." And the fearful and overwhelmed who are giving in to their desires because they do not feel like they can battle against the enemies round about, comforted and helped. He speaks, "I forgive you. Go and sin no more." And the words of that precious gospel comforts us like it has never before. He says, "Believe." And there in our hearts where there was no faith is a miracle of a faith that embraces Jesus Christ and lives for Him. The Word of God has that effect. The Word of God tonight says that in the preaching of weak men, there's a power unto such a salvation. Text says, "Which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That word "effectually worketh" literally means energizes. There is an energy that comes when God speaks. There is a dynamic flow of a vigorous life that God pours into our hearts through the preaching. That's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in that way. For the Thessalonians, it meant turning them from serving idols foolishly to bowing down and serving the living God all their lives. It meant turning from their speech of worshiping Baal to their echoing of the wondrous gospel of Jesus Christ to others. When God speaks, there's change. There is a conviction of sin, the sorrow for that particular sin that you struggle with. The stronger faith, the greater love. An energy from heaven. There is a mysterious power that you don't only, it is not only proven from these words of Scripture, but it's also understood from your own experience, is it not? There is this mysterious power, and you might not experience it every single time. There is an incomprehensible work that takes place when you hear the Word of God. In the preaching, you find that that Word of God hits you between the eyes, so to speak. It gets down to the nitty-gritty of the needs of your heart that you're struggling with through the week. It cuts you and it comforts you in a way that you need that help. That's not because the minister can read your mind. It's not because he's following you and knows exactly what you're doing and what you're struggling with. That's the Holy Spirit, who knows you better than you know yourself. You've experienced Him take that very Word of God, speak, and address your very need. Know that it's a powerful, effective Word, the living God. The mysterious power of the Word of God is not only found in our experiences, but the text says it has a continuing effect, which effectually worketh. That's in the present tense, which is effectually working. Paul and Silas, remember, in Timothy, write this letter when they're away from the Thessalonians, many miles away. And they're saying, at present, it hasn't stopped working. Even after we were done preaching there for weeks on end, that word is still working effectually in your hearts. The Thessalonians didn't only experience this energy, this power of the work as they were sitting, listening to Paul's preaching, but there was a memory of that word that the Holy Spirit brought to their minds again and again to give them joy, to give them hope, to warn them when warning was needed in the right moment, to exhort them and to help them. Later on, it continued to effectually work. That's the Word of God, and that is also our experience, is it not? Our phrase, a particular verse that we heard preached on, that an application comes back to our memories. And it helps us, even though that sermon was preached, the Word of God came to us a long time ago. We might not even remember when. Effectually continues to work. God speaks through the preaching. There is always an effect. The text emphasizes the positive effect, but it implies a negative also. There's always an effect, whether positive or negative, and this is a warning. Which effectually, we read, worketh also in you, and here's the qualification, in you that believe. God's word effectually works in you, but only in those who believe. Parallel to this passage is Hebrews 4 verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the gospel, or the word preached, did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The word of God does not have a positive effect upon those who do not listen with an act of faith. It does not only have no profit, it does not only have no positive effect, but it also has an opposite effect. It has a disastrous effect. It has a hardening effect. It has a deadening effect. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 16, to the one, Paul says, we are a savor of death unto death. And to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? What Paul means is that he, along with his fellow preachers, when they brought the gospel of God, God used it powerfully to affect life, and some were heard, and more life, and disastrously also harden, deaden, to make more resistant to the preaching. Who is sufficient for these things? What effect does the preaching have on you? Positive or the negative? There's not really a neutral. Faith that this text is talking about is an active faith. Faith, of course, is in Jesus Christ. This faith is a faith that comes to the preaching, not as a skeptic, not as a critic, but it comes to this preaching, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who speaks to me. That's the faith we're talking about. An active faith that yearns to hear his Lord speak once again to his soul. May the word of God have that effect upon you tonight, so that you don't listen to the preaching in the same ways you have before. The Spirit moves and he works in you to hear, not just with these ears, to hear with your heart. God saying to you, listen with your faith, ready to hear me speak. Constant prayer of your minister, the office bearers of this church, is that there may be such hearing, such reception of the preaching, such an effectual working of God's word in our hearts. That was Paul's prayer too for the Thessalonians. And as he speaks of this prayer, there was a slightly different way in which he spoke of it. Notice the text. It starts out, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. That's why we call it a propitious prayer. He's not only praying that the Thessalonians would receive the word of God in this way, but he's thanking God in his prayer because the Thessalonians had received the word of God in this way. He thanks God. He lets the Thessalonians know that he thanks God because he wants to encourage the Thessalonians. That's the approach that Paul takes throughout the letter, as we have seen. He wants to encourage them. It's a positive letter to commend them, to praise them even for the many virtues that they had. Here's the source. Here's where all those other virtues come from that he has already commended them for. They had heard the preaching as the word of God. And when that preaching effectually worked in them, then all the other things, all the other virtues he had commended them for came forth as fruits. And so he says, we give thanks to God, especially for this, without ceasing, all the time, we give thanks that you have received that word of God. And as an encouragement to you, too, here at Cornerstone, you do need to hear that too. The prayer for you is not only help them to listen to the preaching as the word of God and effectually work in them, but also we thank God without ceasing. You do receive the preaching by His grace and by His Spirit. And that preaching does effectually work in you as you receive it as the Word of God. There's evidence of that. There is much evidence. There's an obvious desire to improve. There are tears of repentance. There's a more consistent devotional and prayer life. There is. And we thank God for that too. A thankful prayer is not to boost pride. It wasn't to boost the pride of the Thessalonians, and it's not to boost your pride either. Because the very fact that it was a thankful prayer means that God had given it. God had done it. God had worked in the Thessalonians the very ability to listen to the preaching as the word of God. And God was the one that made it effectual in their hearts. It wasn't the Thessalonians of their own. Hence, Paul prays, thank God for this virtue in you. That should humble us. We thank God for working in us to hear His voice, and that He does powerfully change us. And we pray that more and more we might receive the word preached, not as the word of men, but as the work of God, word of God, which is effectually working in us who believe. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for speaking unto us so that weak means of preaching is used by Thee for the very transformation of our souls. Thank Thee for Thy grace toward us so that we can hear by faith the word of our precious Savior, not the word of men. Continue to give us those ears to receive that word as such. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.